We want to welcome up Al Ewert this morning. We want to pray over him. Come on up, Al. God, we lift up Al this morning, Lord Jesus, and what he is. God, every time I see him, Lord, with joy in his heart, even in the middle of battle, God, you have done something in this man, and we are, we're fruit of it. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for the ministry. Thank you for calling Al. Thank you for his salvation and Ruth and his wonderful girls, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the sacrifice they have made. I know they're not big on talking about it, Lord Jesus, but that's probably the way it should be. And God, thank you for what they've done, Lord, to lay their lives down for the cross and for the kingdom and for world impact in this city. It has changed lives. And so, Lord, we just pray that we love to come sit under Papa preaching. And so, Lord, today we look forward to that. We pray your word and anointing over Al and just to bless him, Lord God, from what a blessing he is to us. We are blessed today to have him here with us, God. So speak your word, open our hearts, Lord Jesus, and we look forward for your spirit to move in us today. We ask this in Jesus' holy name, as church said.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, Rob. Is this on?
I believe it is.
All right. It's great to be here. I've looked forward to this. I don't know how many weeks it was.
Hey, let me adjust this over here. Do you want
to? Is it work? Feels fine to me. Can you hear me? All right. Well, it is wonderful to be here. But I have to say, Rob, it's taken a long time to get me here. Many others have come before me. No, actually, he's asked me other times and never worked out. And so it's a great privilege to be here. Just over these years, it's been wonderful to get to know folk, families, men's conferences. Be a part of this church. You're a wonderful group. When I think of restored, there's a couple of things that come to my mind. One, I you know, Rob's already said it. It's a church where people worship God. It's a church where people worship God. Where people are welcomed. Everybody's welcomed here. What a wonderful thing that is. Then I think of a church that serves people. And we've experienced a lot of that blessing. So last weekend, all the folk that served, do you want that, rather?
It's old school.
But anyway, we have benefited so much from the service of this church. Just last week at Lighthouse, a whole bunch of folk accepted Christ, and a lot dedicated their lives to the Lord. Think of the group that went down to Dallas a year ago with a tornado, and you've just done that all over the city. And what a great testimony that is to God's work. So it's a joy to be here with you this Sunday. The passage that I want to share from is 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You can open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And I was actually trying to think last couple of weeks what passage I would share with. There was another one that I was going to thought that God had put on my heart, and I changed it back to this one. And this passage of Scripture, I actually shared a devotional from it at Lighthouse some weeks ago. And since then, I've read it over and over and over again. And my prayer is that God might speak to you all, even as he's spoken to me through this passage. Now, I asked Rob, I said, how long do I have? And is it 14 minutes or 16 minutes? And he said, no, you can just keep going. Now, it kind of reminds me of when I was a young guy. I went to this, it was the first Sunday I went to this one African-American church. I hadn't been in a black church before. And I loved gospel music, and I'd listened to a lot of that. And I walked into this church, and I came late, not realizing I was late. This pastor had invited me. And I sit down in the back, and he prays, and I'm listening. And he said, and dear Lord, We thank you for Brother Al, who's here to bring us a morning message. I looked up, and I'm looking around. Is there another Brother Al here? And fortunately, I'd had my quiet time that morning. He called me up. I talked as long as I could. Sat down, he called me up for another message. So maybe you'll get that other passage that I had here a little bit later. But anyway, let's read together this passage. You know, we live in a broken world, don't we? We've heard that this morning. We've sung songs about that. It is a broken world, filled with disease, with heartache, with people that have no hope. The things we hear about distress us. That's the world we live in. Now, we can either look at life through that world, or we can look at life through the Scripture. And what we believe, what we think about, shapes how we behave. It really does. What you believe, what you really believe, I don't mean what you acknowledge a little bit, what you really believe, that's what you're going to live out. And so the poor person who thinks sports is everything, you're going to see them live that out. That's why some people paint their house the colors of Kansas City Chiefs. Cars, you know, that's all their thing. Not all, but that's where their mind is. So what we believe shapes how we act. And this passage of Scripture, I'm telling you, if you believe this, it'll give you perspective on everything you do. And it'll shape how you live. So listen to these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We'll read the first 10 verses. Now we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us a spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. We live by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Well, what do we know from this scripture? What do we see here? Well, first of all, we see that the scripture talks about our body as a tent. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? A tent. Now, what word I put over the scripture? Pup tent. Now, pup tent, that's for kids to go sleep in on an overnighter. Maybe they last one night. Some even come in during the night. Maybe two nights. You think of a little tent on a guy's hiking up a mountain. They're staying there trying to keep from freezing. It's temporary. The only people that live in a tent long term, you know, you see these people living in refugee villages. Some are raised there. They don't want to be there. But they're in that tent. I remember seeing these sheep herders in Israel. They lived in permanent tents. They were fairly big, but they'd move them around. The sheep would go from one place to another. Thousands of years of history doing that. But when we think of a tent, don't we think of something temporary? Something that's not very strong. that's going to give out. There probably aren't many 50-year-old tents around. You know, a pup tent. It's not everything. Little kids think it's something big, but a tent is something that's temporal. Well, this passage is talking about our body as being a tent. It's going to be destroyed at some point. It's not going to last. This really isn't me, what you look at here. You know, it sort of is me. I mean, you look at me and you say, that's Al. Kind of recognize him. No hair up there. He's this guy. We see him around. That's Al. But really, who I am, it's not this body. It's something within. Now, some of us like the tent we're in. Some of us maybe don't like the tent that we're in. You know, I go to the YMCA, and I started working out there. And I'm trying to make this tent a little more healthy. I remember I told Leanne, I got this free trainer at the workout. Some of you have had that. She about killed me on the weights. Next day I felt like someone had taken a baseball bat. But I knew what was going to happen. I knew what was going to happen. She was going to ask me what my goals were. And sure enough, I told Leanne, I said, I ought to bring in a picture of a bodybuilder. Say, this is my goal. I told her, no, I just want to be kind of healthy. But when I lift these weights, and I always would prefer to be there when nobody else is there, so they can't really see how wimpy I am and see the weights, you know, the level. The other day I went in, and it was all ladies in that section where I was lifting. And I just said, I hope their weights aren't too high, so I have to put it lower. But you know, when I'm there, those of you who have been to Y, you just see these mirrors all over the place. And there's these guys. You can be walking, and they won't even look at you. And the guys lift the weights. Mirrors. They're just looking at these mirrors. You know, when I see that, they're trying to make their tent into something. You know, and I shouldn't be judgmental. You know what I'm saying. It's very easy to live for how this tent is going to look, how it's going to work for us. And, you know, it's almost no different than somebody. Imagine if I said to you, hey, come over my little tent here. I want to show you my tent. My backyard where I live. I got this little china cabinet in there. You know? I got this little entertainment center. Look here. I even got a porta potty right over here, you know? Here's my little tent. I'm really making this into something. Well, that's kind of how I think this passage is saying this tent isn't gonna last. Don't put your focus on this tent. Don't live for this tent and all that it represents. Well, what are we to live for? Well, we know there's decline taking place. And so he's saying something very powerful here. He said, this home, he's talking, if you read the scripture, is not built by human hands. He's talking about heaven. When we go to heaven, we're going to live. And there's two homes, really, that are being talked about. One is, what's this new body we're going to live in? We don't know. I don't have a clue how I'm going to look in heaven. No idea. I'm not sure if you'll recognize me. I think so, but we don't know what that home is. But I'm going to have a new home built by God. That's where I'm going to live. And then we know there's going to be, he's preparing a place for us to live too. John 14, he's getting something ready for us. So two kinds of homes. This home where Al Ewert, maybe I won't even be called Al in heaven, I don't know. But that's where I'm going to be. This place that we're going, this is what this passage is talking about, is beyond description. Beyond description. Have you ever wished you could have just 1 minute in heaven? You know, I've sometimes thought, if I had 1 minute in heaven, that clearing up my mess here in this life, then I would really live for Christ. Well, God's given us His Word. And this passage is to give us a picture of heaven. It's something we're going to live for. And if we get that straight, folks, if we got the right view of where we're heading to heaven, it is going to shape how we live here. If we don't have that hope, if we don't have that picture, if our eyes are not there on Christ and where we're going, we're just going to drift. We're going to drift. We're just going to be carried by whatever's going along, trying to make our tent a little better. Just trying to make it. Just trying to get by. God has so much for us. So that's what we're aiming. Verse 2. You know, that's a picture we have for. Verse 2 says, meanwhile, we groan. Well, we know we groan, don't we? Now, there's all kinds of groaning. My guess is there's some that came in here this morning saying, this was a bummer week. I was groaning this week. Oh, man. My boss, my job, my neighbor, the way my body feels, school, tests, this, complaining. Sometimes that's what we explain. But you know what? This is talking about a different kind of groaning. This is talking about a different kind of groaning. This is for something else. This passage says, we're longing for our heavenly dwelling. We're longing for our new home with Christ. A new body. A new place. State of perfection. You all saw that transition just here recently. Was it Kevin? Is that his name? Kevin, you listen to a testimony? He's living in this life? Bingo. A few hours later, he's with the Lord. What a transition just took place. From this life to that life. And when we think of Christ in heaven, when we think of where we're going, there should be something in us that causes us to stir, where we long for that. We ache for that. We look forward to that. And my friends, some of you here, I bet you're sitting there saying, well, I don't know that that's true of me. I'd kind of like to hang around here for quite a while. I don't know if I'll like it in heaven. Might be kind of boring up there. Eternity? I don't know. I kind of like this life. Believe me, if you're that way, you're not longing for heaven and you're missing something. And it says something about your spiritual heart. Because this is, we don't wake up in the morning and we say, okay, long. I'm going to long today for heaven. No. That's not how it works. We come to a place where we love Christ. We're surrendered to Him. And then when we hear what's taking place, we long for that. The picture I have in my mind is before I got married to Ruth. You know, that week before, those weeks before, anything could have happened. The world could have fallen apart. It didn't matter. My response, but I'll be with Ruth. I'm going to be married for the rest of my life. I got my sweetheart. I'm going to watch her walk up the aisle here pretty soon. It didn't matter what happened in that week. Didn't matter. Every problem. I can remember a few problems of that week. As I was living in L.A. and I was traveling, I was responsible for ministries all over the country. I was hearing every problem under the sun. It didn't matter. I'm getting married to my Ruthie. Well, it almost ought to be that same way. I'm on my way to heaven, folks. I'm going there. And I don't know when. I don't know what order we're lining up. That's all that matters. Are you number 5 or 18 or whatever? I don't know what order we're going in. But I'm going. And that's what I'm living for. And if I live that way, then it gives me perspective on this life. So the first picture is of a tent. Then verse 3 talks about we are incomplete. We're uncovered. We're being clothed, all that we will have in heaven. So I'm saying the picture of this life is we're naked here. You know, we don't like that image, you know. Unless you're in the hospital or something. You know, we don't like that image. But that's another picture. We got the tent picture and then we got the clothing picture. Here, we're unclothed. In heaven, we'll be clothed. We'll be clothed in righteousness. We'll be, you know, that's an interesting picture, isn't it? And so here we got to be this way, but we're going to be that way when we get to heaven. So in this tent, we groan and are burdened. We go to a new home. That's where we're going to live. Now, I'm in an age. I'm 62. So I'm getting these AARP things, these mailings. And it's kind of interesting to me. You know what they say? They're words like, you've worked all your life. Now you deserve this. And they'll have pictures of retirement communities where you play golf all day. We sit and eat with all these people. Everybody's smiling. You live in this nice house. And I look at those things and I say, how many people are ever going to get that? You know, first of all, they're not going to have money. Most people aren't, right? Most people can't go live in one of those places in Florida. And for those who can, how many couples are there? You know, you think of it. That stay together by marriage. Or one of them doesn't die, or one isn't in sickness. And even for the, I mean, you take all those things down, that's getting to be a small percentage of the people that have that. And then, on top of it, how many years does that last? Think how fast 5 years go. You want to live for everything on this life to have a little slice of 5 years? Of that, you know, it's all perspective. Well, this passage goes on, and then Paul says that we are to be absent with the body, or he didn't say it in this passage, but be present with the Lord. That again is what we're looking for. Verse 4 goes on to say, all of this life will be swallowed up by life, which means heaven. So once we are in heaven, all that's mortal here is going to be swallowed up. I don't even know what that means. Only thing I can think is we get to heaven and we don't think about this life. It's all gone. It's all taken care of. It's swallowed up. Every achievement, every dollar earned, every house built, every this, every that, it's swallowed up at that moment. What a wonderful truth that is. And this is what God has made us for. He says in this passage, for this very purpose. We, and here's bottom line truth. We are created for heaven, not for this life. Now think about that. I'm created for heaven, not for this life. I had a friend that just got back from India. He went there and he was in the slums. And he showed me some pictures last week. And there were all these kids that were just smiling and happy in these little one-room places. They were having churches and people worshiping. I listened to some tapes of these people worshiping God. And it just warmed my heart. Just everybody looked happy. He said that was an incredible thing. They're earning $1 a day. And then he said something. He said, what they talk about is heaven. The only reason they're here is to bring glory to God, to love Him, to get ready for heaven, and to bring as many people along. They're never going to a dentist. They're never going to have the things we have. They don't complain about the things we complain about. They're living, their life is so different. They couldn't imagine what we have. But once they find Christ, the churches teach, you're only here for a little bit, and the only thing that matters is how many people you're bringing with you to heaven. Now that's a pure way of looking at this life. Get clear about that, then you're clear about this. Now these last days, Pastor Rob mentioned something about Fred Stace. Great friend. He was a guy that helped start our ministry in Los Angeles. Ruth served with him. They were on a church plant together. He and his wife moved here to Wichita. He led all of our church planting efforts. Went back to Canada to be with his family, his folks, and got kidney cancer. And that was about 8 years ago. And he's had one tumor after another, been in the hospital, had operations, had this, had that. And he just kept living for God. He was so ready for heaven. He was so ready. And when I heard he died on Friday, he's a little younger than me. When I heard he died, you know, all I thought about was how many people are going to go to heaven as a result of Fred's life. In L.A., huge numbers. Here in Wichita, in Guatemala where they lived, in Canada, there's a parade of people that are coming into heaven as a result of Fred, the way he lived. That's what he wants for every one of us here. He wants a parade to follow us. Now, some have the gifts of evangelism. That's not the point I'm making. But if we live for Christ, you know, you young kids, middle-aged boy, he wants to use every one of us to bring people to Christ. That's his purpose. For this very purpose, we were created for heaven. And then verse 5. Verse 5, it says, now it is God who has made us for this very purpose and has given us a Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. That's an interesting verse. When I think of the Holy Spirit, what do you think of? We think of the Comforter. We think of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us. But here it's saying the Holy Spirit is given as a deposit. That would be no different than Pastor Rob saying, hey Al, I put $1,000 in the bank for you. You can get it later. It's a deposit for me to get later. The Holy Spirit has been given as a deposit, and then that's a promise. It's a way that we're going to be in heaven. The Holy Spirit has been given as a deposit. And then we come to verse 6, where there's a big therefore. Therefore, we always know that's a big word. We are always confident to know that as long as we are in the body, we are away from the Lord. He is with us, but we're away at the same time. I have Christ in my heart, but I'm away from Him. That's the therefore. And this passage, or verse 7 says, we live by faith, not by sight. And yet we are confident. So, we'd rather be away from this pup tent and be with the Lord? Paul was saying that, different places. He said, you know, I'd rather be there, but wait a minute. If I'm here, I can do God's work. Let's see, where would I rather be? Do I want to be here? Well, that tension should be taking place with us. Saying, I want to be in heaven, but wait a minute. I got something to do. Let me ask you, are you thinking that way? Are you thinking that way? Saying, yeah, I can't wait to be in heaven. But wait a minute. I'm going to find out what God wants me to do in this life. I want to find out. I want to be used of Him. I want to be used in the fullest way. Lord, just take over. Just use me. You know, are you trying to find out what your gifts are, what your abilities, how you can serve in the church, what you can do, where you live, who might God want me to touch? Lord, what do you have for me to do? Do you have that sense? You know, if you don't, you're missing something huge. You know, commitment to Christ, understanding heaven is going to lead us to that. Then we get to verse 9, and this is a little bit of a warning. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether in the body or away from it. Either one, our greatest desire of us is to please God. That's how we should live. The warning, there is coming a judgment seat of Christ. We will each receive what is due. Okay, we know if we've accepted Christ, the great judgment, we're going to be in heaven. But somehow this verse is saying there's going to be something that we're rewarded for how we've lived, good or bad. Now, there's no tears in heaven, so it's not like we're going to be up there and saying, oh, no, oh, no, oh, no. You know, somehow God's going to work with that. But how we live here does affect something that takes place in heaven. So quickly, let me summarize this, and then I want to share a couple other things. The body is wasting away, and often it's wasting away through great difficulty. Chapter 4, right before this, we read where Paul's saying, we're hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be revealed in our body. So our body's wasting away. And in his case, it was a lot of persecution. Well, then we have a choice. We have a choice. We can live for this life, or we can live for God's best. It's our choice. Not forced on us, simply our choice. Third, we have opportunity to know Christ in an intimate way. Paul said, for to me to know Christ, we have that opportunity. We can have the joy of advancing the kingdom. That can be a part of each one of us. And then we can live with the hope of heaven. And as verse 16, right before this passage, it says, therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then the last verse there, it says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So where are your eyes fixed today? Where are they fixed this morning? I debated whether I was going to share a little bit about this, but I think I will. It was last summer when I found out I had cancer. And I was 99% sure when the doctor said it, I was going to have it. I was almost positive. I think God had just kind of showed me that. I had prostate cancer. And kind of every visit to the doctor kept getting a little worse and worse, and it led to radiation treatment. And they said, we don't know if you got it all. And they did all these bone scans, and every scan that you can possibly have, I had. And people would come up to me, and I'd say, boy, wow. And I kind of, I think half of them sort of thought I was going to clock out of here before too long. And I didn't think that. I didn't have that sense. But when the doctor told me what I had, You know what I felt in my heart? It was like God was saying, this is for me. And in the next days, it was, this is a gift for me. And I remember hearing it, this is a gift for me. Not physically hearing it, but it was so clear. I didn't even feel any sadness about it. I didn't know where it was going. Now, there's a lot of people that have stuff 100 times worse than I had. I had no pain through this process. Even after the surgery, very little pain. The worst thing was I had to have that catheter bag with me for a week. It was kind of embarrassing. Leanne had to see me walking around the house carrying that bag with me all week. That was probably the worst thing. But it really wasn't that bad, the pain. I didn't travel at all. I knew that fall was different. All my trips got canceled. So I had about 6 months. And every morning, I would wake up and I would say, Lord, thank you for this gift. You're doing something in my heart through this. I started taking these shots and I couldn't sleep from it. At first, I thought I was maybe spiritual or something because I was waking up early in the morning. But then I talked with Ruth's cousin. He said, yeah, I'm taking these shots. I can't sleep in the morning. And so I'd get up at 4:30 or 5. And I'd have hours in prayer and the Word. And it was so wonderful. That's why I could say, this is a gift. I started getting to a place where, you know, I looked forward to going to sleep as early as possible so I could get up in the morning. I looked forward to those times. You know, God was doing something that I can't take credit for. He was just doing something. He was drawing me to a deeper relationship with God. A deeper, a clearer focus than I'd ever had before. I went through the radiation. I found out I didn't know anything about radiation. And they said, it's going to be 40 days of radiation. I said, 40 days? Wow. I'm going to turn this into 40 days of prayer. And when I get on that radiation table, I don't want to think about myself. I want to be praying. I want to be praying what I want to pray. I want to be praying what God wants me to pray. I expect He's going to do something. I mean, I got to start getting kind of excited about that. And so what I'd do is every morning, I'd wake up and I'd say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to pray about at 7:45 on that radiation table? And the whole time there, I'd pray. And I just said, this is for God. He's going to do something here. And I've never even showed anybody that whole list of the things that God gave me to pray about. But it's been dramatic. It's been dramatic to watch some of the things that have happened. The first day, it was praying for Leanne and Joetta. And I've never even told them that. That was the first day. I just prayed they'd be willing to go way out for God. They just go way out for God. And so those days were wonderful, wonderful days. The reason I'm sharing this is not to draw attention to myself. Believe me, that's not it. There's nothing in me that wants that. It's rather to say, folks, I'm learning. We can live moment by moment walking with God. With purpose, with a sense of He's doing something, and all the more every day ready for heaven. And that's my desire for my life. That's what, you know, I look among you all. I don't know who you are, most of you. I don't know what you're going through, but man, that's what I want. But more than that, that's what God wants. That's what God wants. He wants your heart. I'd like to close with a story. I had the privilege of, oh, it's a bunch of years now. It's 20 years ago. I went to the Navigator Camp. The former president, Lorne Sanney, he was in his 80s. He's maybe late 70s. He's gone on to be with the Lord now. Great man. a tremendous Bible teacher, just a great man of faith. He spent the weekend with about 10 of us, and he's just shared his life, lessons he'd learned over his life. And we get to the first meeting. I'm feeling kind of honored that I'm in this group that could be there with this great man of God. And I had my notebook ready, and I'm ready to write things down all weekend. And I'm expecting to be fed. He opens the first meeting. He said, "Let's have a word of prayer." And he said, "Lord, I'd like to rededicate my life to you right now." And I had my head bowed, and I looked up. I was the only one looking up. I said, "I just heard Lawrence Sanney rededicate his life to the Lord. What went wrong this last week?" Or, "I just heard him rededicate his life." Because in my mind, you rededicate your life after everything's been a mess. So, next meal, Lawrence says, "Lord, I'd like to rededicate my life to you right now. I'd like to just rededicate my life to you." Third time, I said, "What's up with that?" And he said, "Here's what I've learned." He said, "As soon as I give everything to Christ, I start pulling away. I don't know that I can even pray pure. I might be praying wondering how my prayer sound. I'm in the flesh." So I've just found it very helpful many times a day to rededicate my life to Christ. I've started doing that. Now, I won't, because then I'll feel like I'm copying him. So you didn't hear, I won't pray in Christ. But I do it with myself. You know what's a picture? Not all the time, but most of the time, I get in my car. I think I'm driving. I'm steering the... This is a picture of me driving the car. But I want God to drive. And so when I grab a hold of the steering wheel, a lot of times I'll just say, "Lord, just take it all down. Just take it all right now. Just take it, everything." There have been some times in my life I couldn't pray that because I wanted to keep certain sections to myself. Have you all experienced that? You can say a nice prayer if you got called up in front, but meanwhile you say, "No, I know that's not an honest prayer because I want this section to myself. I want this section. I want to be able to do this or this. I want to be able to have that. I don't mind if God has this, but I want this." No. If we love Christ, if our ambition is heaven, if we're thinking there, we just want to give it all to God. Why not? Why not just give it all to him? Why not? Just everything. And many times a day. Why not? Why not do like Lord? Just Lord, just take it all over again. Boy, that was a lousy last meeting. I said some things I shouldn't have said. And that was a junky thought. And I just, Lord, just take it all now again. Would you just take it all again? I've started doing something that helps me in the morning. I'm not saying these things to try to get you to copy me. That's not at all. But in the morning, a lot of times when I'm praying, I just put my hands out in front of me. It helps me picture just giving it all to Christ. Just give it all to Christ. You know, can you pray with your hand open? Not if I ask you to pray that way so everybody looks around and look whose hands are open. No. Can you honestly right now put your hands out and say, "Yes. Yes. God, take it all. Just take it all. Everything. Every last bit of my little pup tent. Take it all, Lord. Just take it all. For your glory. For your purposes. And I can't wait, Lord, till I can be like Fred. What would that be like? I wonder about it. What would it be like if I knew I just had a day or two left?" I remember I took my boss to the airport. And I just gotten out of my job. I handed off my job to Andy Entz And now I'm going to be able to focus on some things I really want to be able to. And we were at the airport. He said, how are you doing? And we just got another, I just got another one of these calls from the doctor. Come in the next day. And I said, I'm pretty cool. Said, I just am going to be able to focus more on what I want to do. And if by chance the news is bad and the Lord took me home sooner, I'm on my way to heaven. What could be better? I could serve the Lord or I'm on my way to heaven. So I'm going to close in prayer. Rob, I used up my hour. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Please don't do this because I said it. Only do it if your heart is there. And if your heart isn't there, maybe your heart will be there tonight or tomorrow. Don't do this till you're ready. But if you are ready to say, Lord, you got it all. You got it all. I'm just pushing it all out there. It's on the table. Lord, you got it all. The good, bad, the ugly. What I have, you got my possessions, you got my talents, you got my future, you got my friend, you got it all, Lord, you got it all, you got my family, you got my bank account, there's nothing I'm going to hold on for me, nothing. Okay, if you can say that in your heart, as I close in prayer, would you just put your hand out in front of you? So let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for this week, what it represents. The truth that thousands of years ago, Jesus went to the cross, died on the cross, paid the penalty of my sins, our sins here, the whole world's sins. He rose from the dead. He's in heaven. Kevin, Fred Stace are there. Their number was a little earlier. Lord, we're going to be there. And so, Father, right now, speak to my heart. Speak to our hearts. Help us to give you everything, Lord. Help us to just release it all. And not just this moment, but throughout the day, throughout tomorrow, throughout this week, that we just give it all to you, Lord. Help us to do that. And so together, Lord, we offer ourselves as living sacrifices for you to use as you choose. And it's in the holy name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.